It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey guys, welcome back to Money for Lunch. It's going to be a great show. We are going to have possibly as good a show as we've ever had today. It's starting to heat up here. You know, as you guys probably know, the show comes to you from the Phoenix, Arizona market. And when I say things are heating up, I'm not talking about our weather, which is, by the way, heating up. It's 110 on a daily basis. But politically speaking, we are starting to get into the our race for governor. English is my second language. I say this again. The race for Arizona's governor, new governor, is commencing. The campaigns are out, and we're going to start interviewing some of the would-be governors of the race. And we've already had one gentleman drop out. We've had today on the show, we're going to have Barry Hess, who is a libertarian. I think next week we have a constitutionalist as well as a Republican coming on the show, and then eventually a Democrat. So we're going to talk to everybody, and it's going to be an amazing time. Anyway, interestingly enough, yesterday I mentioned that Miley Cyrus was not dead, and so got some interesting feedback on that. And so, yes, he is still very much alive. I personally like Miley Cyrus. I think she produces pretty decent music. She's had some great hits, and, you know, she's reinventing herself. And I personally am not appalled by her antics. I think that sometimes you have to do that. Remember, Madonna, even Lady Gaga have pulled off some crazy stuff to stay current, and sometimes that's what you have to do in show business. Anyway, also, interestingly enough, I was, got a lot of emails regarding my remarks for Frank Fierro. I believe his last name is Fierro, and he's the pilot that a couple of weeks ago had to land his plane on the street, some street there in Long Island, some road on Long Island, and he had to do it again last week. And it's crazy. But this guy is either a really great pilot or a really bad pilot. I don't know what it is. The question is, if you're getting on a plane and the captain happens to be this Frank Fierro, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I really haven't decided yet. What are your thoughts? Anyway, guys, it's going to be my I should say it's going to be a good show, and I'm actually just stalling a little bit, wondering where my first guest is at. And anyway, I'm not going to stall for very much longer. It's one of the great things about having a live show is that sometimes crap happens. People forget to show up. People get stranded. Sometimes our technology goes down, and that's okay. If we get a no-show for whatever reason, then I'm going to play a couple of my favorite interviews. And I'm not going to lie, I'm going to probably take a quick run to the men's room. And that's some of the magic that sometimes happens during commercial breaks and short interviews. By the way, also, if you go to moneyforlunch.com, we got a massive amount of remarks and comments by an article by Nick Hanauer. And Nick is a billionaire. He talks about why raising the minimum wage would be a great thing for America. So check it out. And we're going to play this quick interview by me and Kelly LeBrock, and then we'll be back here on Money for Lunch.
Bert Martinez here, and this is a special edition of Money for Lunch. I'm side by side with the amazing Kelly LeBrock. Kelly LeBrock is an international actress, model, known for the Pantene girl, Don't Hate Me Because I'm Beautiful.
Don't Hate Me Because I'm Still Beautiful.
I love it. Don't Hate Me Because I'm Still Beautiful. Hard to Kill.
Hard to Watch.
Oh, Lady in Red.
Woman in Red.
Woman in Red. All right, all right. And Weird Science.
Weird Science. That was a fun movie.
Man, how many young men did you motivate in Weird Science?
I think I motivated them in the wrong department, but I think there were a few motivated. It's nice. It's an honor.
It is. Well, I mean, what's amazing to me is it's become an iconic film.
Yes, it has.
I mean, it's how old is that film now?
It's about 28 years, 30 years.
30 years old, and it still brings you a lot of attention.
And joy.
Enjoy
to everybody.
It does. Yeah, it does.
And the 80s were a great time. You know, they were innocent and we were having fun. And I think that the films that were made in those days have a quality that we don't get in the films today.
I agree. Not only where I think they were more creative because there wasn't so much technology. And I think that the acting was even better back then. Today, it seems like it depends quite a bit on technology.
Well, special effects. There was a reality to the stories. There was a personable thing that people could relate to, that we understood about families and their dysfunctions. And John Hughes was the captain of that.
John was incredible. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the John Hughes movies, and they all had a great little theme to them. They were all family-friendly. They were all fun to watch.
Yeah, no, he was a great talent, and it's a terrible shame.
Yes. All right, so let me ask you this. Okay, you have reach a certain level of success, right? And everybody knows your success stories, but I'd like to maybe hear something that people don't usually know. Tell me about some of the struggles. Did you ever have a time in your career where you were almost ready to hang it up and quit?
I still am. No, I mean, when I was modeling, I was a big star in Europe as far as modeling went. I went to New York and nobody would use me for 6 months.
Wow.
I did not work. I was told that I was too exotic, my mouth was too big, my photographs were too European, and they didn't want anything to do with me. I've written a book. I've written 27 chapters of some pretty intense stories, and I think that when that book comes out, I will be well received, because my life has not been as people think it has.
Right. They look at you and they say, oh, look, she's gorgeous, she's glamorous, oh, look how successful she is, but we don't always get to hear the backside of how you became successful, right?
Yeah, well, it will be out, and I'm sure there'll be some people upset about it, but it's the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them, God.
I love it. All right, so what, when you look back at your career...
that didn't take long.
When you look back, are there some movies that you wish you have never would have done, or are there some movies that you look at and you wish you could have do over again?
I don't think you can do anything over again. I really wanted to play the role in the Michael Douglas movie. What was the one where the woman comes in and destroys his life?
Wait. Fatal Attraction. Oh, yeah.
I was up for that. But they were concerned because I hadn't done anything. And then I also went up for Ghostbusters, and Woman in Red hadn't come up yet. I think that would have been a cool one to do. I turned down Beetlejuice, which I think was a mistake. But I've always sort of ruled by my heart. It's never been about being famous. So it was easy to give it up for my family, too. So.
Well, that's smart, too. So let's talk about that. You know, people always hear... do what you love to do and then the money will follow. Do you agree with that advice?
Absolutely, because if you're doing things just for the money, that's the wrong reason, and money doesn't rule my life. You always have to go with your heart.
I love that. All right, so when, let's say, somebody's out there struggling, talking about, you know, some of our viewers here, maybe some of our young viewers, people who've been out there, maybe they're trying to get their book out there, or maybe they're trying to get into modeling or acting or whatever it is they're trying to get into, and maybe they're struggling. Any advice that you would give to them as far as dealing with struggling or obstacles?
Struggling is a great way to know yourself. Just never give up. You can never give up, and always believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will.
Kelly, that's amazing. I love that. Thank you so much for stopping by, and great hanging out with you. Side by side here with the amazing Kelly LeBrock. Still gorgeous, still exotic looking.
At least I still sort of look the same. and I can move my face.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, guys, we are back. My next guest, Mary King, Esquire. Mary King is known as the IRS problem-solving attorney and co-author of the best-selling book, Protect and Defend. Mary's career as an attorney began in 1993 after graduating from Stetson University College of Law. Her career has primarily focused on IRS problem solving as well as mortgage foreclosure defense. Mary has been practicing law for 19 years and enjoys helping clients remove the dark cloud of the IRS. Mary Keene, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. It's great to be here.
Well, it's always good to have you on the show, and I wanted to ask you this real quick. In the intro there, we talk about the mortgage foreclosure defense, and I know that we weren't going to really talk about this, but I wanted to ask you, is the foreclosure wave still going on, or has it kind of died down now and to a kind of a more normal rate, for lack of better terms?
Well, as you know, I'm here in Florida, and we are still having quite a few foreclosures, but not anywhere near what we were seeing during the height of the foreclosure peak.
Yeah, the foreclosure boom, right?
Right, exactly. There were a lot of attorneys that changed their practice from, general trial work to doing foreclosure defense because there was just so many of them.
Yeah. And you know what? And it sounds almost opportunistic. Thank you. Man, But you know what? Here's the deal a lot of people don't understand. A lot of good people got ripped off, got really screwed over badly because they didn't have somebody helping them with their foreclosure defense, right?
Yes, absolutely, because what happens here in Florida is that they've now, several years ago, they started a process whereby the banks could move forward if the people didn't have an attorney, the banks could move forward in a fairly quick process to get a judgment against them. And as I'm sure everybody's aware, we had a big robo-signing crisis where essentially the banks were having people sign the documents that either weren't present or didn't know what they were signing, or they weren't even the people that were actually supposed to be signing. And so you're right. I think people did get taken advantage of them if they didn't have an attorney to defend them.
Yeah, and it's amazing, and it's a terrible situation. So, again, we see that having a good attorney to come in and help you really makes a difference. All right, so kind of a little segue down the road here. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about some tax tips if you sell your home. What happens, for us or as far as taxes go when you sell your home?
Well, if you have a capital gain on the sale of your home, you can exclude a certain amount from tax. And that there's some criteria, as always, about this. If you actually own the house and used it as your main home for at least 2 out of the 5 years before the date of the sale. And if you did, then you can. If you're a single person, you can exclude $250,000. If you have a joint return with your spouse, you can exclude up to $500,000.
Wow, that's a nice little gift.
It is. The IRS doesn't usually give you any gifts, or at least ones you want.
That's right. It's certainly not that large. I mean, that's really a substantial little gift.
It is. I mean, it's really helpful to people who are selling their homes and, would otherwise have a huge tax burden.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's like, man, that's a little gem there. I mean, I guarantee you people are listening going, yeah, that's nice. Let me write that one down. All right, so let's talk about this. Tax benefits for members of the armed forces.
Okay, so if people are overseas serving in the military, especially in a combat zone, they may be able to postpone some of their tax deadlines. You can get an automatic extension of the time to file your tax return and to pay, which usually if you file an extension, it's not an extension to pay, it's only an extension to file. So this is a little bit different. The other thing is you can, a military member can deduct costs of certain uniforms. A spouse can sign for the other spouse if one spouse is overseas serving. So there's several benefits.
Wow. So something that kind of caught my ear there is, in a normal situation, can I sign for my spouse, or is that a no-no?
No. Your spouse has to sign her own signature on a joint return.
Wow. I did not know that.
Right. The problem is then sometimes, you know, one spouse will prepare the return themselves or they'll have somebody else prepare it, and then they'll also sign for their absent spouse. And when the spouse gets home, they may get a big surprise.
What the heck was this?
Right, exactly.
All right. All right, well, you know what? Let's talk about this because, you know, this always comes up quite often. And I want you to kind of bring us up to date. What are the top three tax scams that you're seeing right now?
Well, you know, and we've talked about this several times before, but I think it's really important for people to be aware of these things. Probably the biggest one is identity theft. These kind of thieves steal your personal and financial information to file false returns and then get money back in the form of a refund. The IRS actually has a special identity theft protection page on their website, which is irs.gov, and it gives you some ideas about how you can reduce your risk of being victim to this kind of crime.
Wow. Okay, so identity theft, the number one thing, and how is that happening? I mean, are they finding, like, discarded returns in the waste basket, or how are they capturing that information? Any idea?
What I understand is, yes, they're getting it from documents. You know, people throw away; they don't shred. Sometimes there are people in, you know, like offices where you would give your Social Security number, and then the people will steal that information to actually file a return. And you know, that could be almost, you know, any place, because many places do ask for your Social Security number.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I've stopped, as much as possible, I've stopped giving out my Social Security. I no longer share that with my medical providers. They just don't need my social, you know, to treat my ailment. I think it's kind of a weird thing when a medical provider is asking you for a Social Security number. It's like, come on, I'm not, you know, this is not a credit application. Just, you know, treat me and
right,
let's
exactly.
go.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you really know, you don't know if, for instance, those documents would get in the hands of, you know, somebody who's, you know, coming in to clean their office or even one of the employees. You know, you just don't know how that information is being handled.
Absolutely correct. And I agree with that. All right, so identity theft is the number one thing. What else is happening out there as far as tax scams?
Well, one of them is where people pose as the IRS and call individuals with, of course, one idea to get their tax information, their Social Security number, anything that would help them to file a fraudulent return. They also can be threatening and abusive to the individual, so they think, wrongly or rightly, that it may be the IRS. And, of course, generally the IRS does not call you. They will send you correspondence, but it's only a rare occasion that they will actually call you.
Now, I had a very interesting thing happen to me not too long ago. Excuse me. And And immediately I thought of you, and you'll understand why, because I am about to pull out of my driveway where somebody taps on my window, my car window, and I roll down the window, and this lady flashes her badge, and she says, "I'm with the IRS," you know, and I immediately thought of Mary King. Where are you?
Where am
you
I?
Know,
you need me, right?
That's right. Hold on 1 second. But luckily, they didn't want any. All they wanted to know if I knew my neighbor, and they were asking questions about my neighbor, which unfortunately I don't know my neighbor. And this was my neighbor across the street, so not that I'm a complete shut-in, but it was just so happens I really had no information on this individual that other than, I know that it was a man and a woman that lived there, but other than that, I don't know anything about them. But it's interesting that you say they don't really call you; they'll send you mail, and in some, I guess, cases, they will actually physically come to your home. I don't know what was going on with this particular couple, but obviously if you're getting a personal visit from the IRS, you must have a very urgent matter.
Right. Usually the only times that they will send a revenue officer or revenue agent to your home is if that person has been assigned to actually handle your case, and you're correct. It may be a situation where they owe a very significant amount of money and haven't been responding to any correspondence that the IRS has sent. It may be that the IRS thinks that there's some sort of criminal activity involved. So those are really the times when they would actually send an agent out to an individual's house.
Wow. All right. So we have the identity theft. We have the, for lack of better terms, the harassing phone calls to try to trick you into getting your information. And what's another tax scam that you've seen out there?
Well, this one is called phishing, and it's phishing with a PH. And that's when they will actually send out emails that are supposedly from the IRS. And again, they can send out information that says, "Oh, you're going to get a refund, but you need to send us this information back so that we can confirm it's actually you," or with a threat of an audit. And they can even set up a phony website or phony information on the email so it actually looks like it's, you know, from the IRS. But the thing is that the IRS does not contact people by email. That's just, if you ever get an email, you know, that says it's from the IRS, that's not the case. They only use mail to contact people. Or like I said, if there's a situation where they're sending an agent out to the house. So those are really the only two ways that you would be contacted by the IRS.
Yeah, and you know what? I remember you telling me this last year where they only contact you by mail, or that's their primary way of contacting you. And again, what a great relief. I mean, it's as much as a pain in the butt as that is sometimes, it's nice to know that they don't contact you by email, because that's one less thing that you have to be worried about, or not worried about, is, you know, concerned, I guess, I guess it's almost the same thing. But you know what I'm saying? It's one way to immediately know that somebody's trying to fish for your ID. If you get an email from the IRS, no matter how professional it looks, no matter if it's got their logo on it, you know that it's a scam, because the IRS simply does not use email as a way of contacting you.
Right, right. And what the IRS has said is if you do get one of these phony emails, you need to, of course, not click on it, but send it to phishing@irs.gov, because they want to be, you know, advised of what's going on and if there are people who are trying to scam taxpayers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. Okay, so what constitutes the taxpayer Bill of Rights?
Well, the Bill of Rights is a document they've just revised. And when you get a notice from the IRS, the initial notice, they will actually send you what's called Publication 1, which is entitled Your Rights as a Taxpayer. However, they have updated this very recently, and so they're sending out essentially a revised Publication 1 for people who are going to start getting notices fairly soon. But they also have this what the taxpayer Bill of Rights are. And there are 10 items. I can run through them real quick. The right to be informed, the right to quality service, the right to pay no more than the correct amount of the tax, the right to challenge the IRS's position and be heard, the right to appeal an IRS decision in an independent forum, the right to finality, the right to privacy, the right to confidentiality, the right to retain representation, and the right to a fair and just tax system.
I love it. I love it. I like the fact that we have a right to pay the right amount.
Oh, absolutely.
What a nice thing to throw in there, isn't it? Listen, we love you guys so much that we're only going to make you pay the right amount. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Mary. Sometimes you do have to challenge what they are saying because,
yes.
You know, there may be an error.
Yeah. Well, and again, you're talking about people who handle millions of files over a course of a year. There's bound to be errors. And sometimes you have, complications because these errors sometimes comes with penalties and interest. So, yes, I didn't want to make light of it, but it just sounded funny. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it's nice to know that we can defend ourselves, that we are allowed to get representation, that we are allowed to object to whatever the IRS is saying that we owe, and that we're allowed to investigate all that and pay the actual amount that we owe. So, I mean, those are all good things. And Mary, we're out of time, but I look forward to having you back again soon.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet. Guys, we're off and running. Great stuff there about you and your rights when it comes to the IRS. And if you're having a problem with the IRS, you should contact the IRS Problem Solving Attorney at TaxLawyerFlorida.com, TaxLawyerFlorida.com. Mary and her team can help you no matter where you're in because she works with the IRS all across the nation. And again, it's Mary Keene at TaxLawyerFlorida.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then my friend from Hawaii, Ronnie Tsunami, right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, guys, we're back. My next guest, Ronnie Tsunami. I just love that name. Ronnie Tsunami is a technological advisor and speaker with a specialization in digital marketing, internet, social media, mobile marketing, helping entrepreneurs to embrace the latest tools, techniques, technologies to accelerate growth of their business. With a career in information technology spanning over 20 years, Ronnie started in the U.S. Air Force and has served as lead network engineer for the Secretary of Defense, Director of Information Services for the Congressional Commission on Veterans Affairs, and Chief Information Officer for a national training company managing technology training programs of 150 colleges and universities. Ronnie Tsunami, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Aloha. How are you doing?
Great, man. I love that. Aloha. Man, I'm excited to have you on the show.
You can't start the day off wrong when you say aloha. It's just, you have to smile.
You have to smile. I love that. I love that. All right, well, let's dive into this. I want to ask you this, and just as a quick primer for our audience, that's, what do you consider digital marketing?
Well, digital marketing is any marketing that uses electronic devices. It can be computers, tablets, smartphones, digital billboards, even game consoles. Anything that engages consumers and other business partners, using any kind of electronic device.
I love it. And all right, so go ahead.
Well, I was saying, if you think about digital marketing, there's really three types of marketing that use those type of devices. Internet marketing, social media marketing, and mobile marketing lately has been really taken off the ground. mobile marketing, of course, being smartphones and tablets. And now I understand they have watches and wearable marketing devices. You'll be able to promote things through your clothing, if you can believe that. So, yeah, all of that's considered digital marketing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. All right, and so, you know, what's amazing to me is how many people are really lagging in embracing digital marketing. I mean, it seems silly to me, but I have to ask you, how important is digital marketing to the success of a business owner today?
Well, you know, if you think about it, I mean, just look at yourself. Before, you know, smartphones, if you talked about smartphones even 10 years ago about what it can do, right? Before it was, well, it's a phone. You call on the phone. Now, a smartphone is 100-plus devices, depending on how many apps you install on it. So people are using electronic devices more and more. In fact, I believe there's studies out there where people take smartphones into the bathrooms. 33% of people will admit, and these are people that admit, that they have the phone with them in the bathroom. I keep my phone with me all the time to where even on my nightstand, I have it with me. So, and people are standing in line. All you have to do is go to lunch, sit at a restaurant, and look around. Everyone is on their phone, right? People, like it or not, people are on their phones. And I've heard the whole social media slam where people are like, oh, my gosh, no one's really talking to each other. They're just on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, on their Instagram posting selfies. But at the end of the day, all of those are mediums that people are accessing information and their downtime. Their downtime. Now, when they're not working, they're on social media, and there's all types of stats that will show how much people are spending time on the Internet or on their mobile device. In fact, more people will be searching by mobile device for products and services than even a PC, you know, laptop or tablet by the end of this year. So that's how powerful and how influential the type of exposure, visibility you have when you market online. And I always tell people that if you think of digital marketing equals reputation. And if you're not doing digital marketing, not only are you not controlling your reputation, but someone could end up writing your reputation for you. And we've seen that where people will go online, and some people say, oh, I have a local business. I'm not doing digital marketing. I'm not in Yelp, but I'm okay. Not realizing your competitor has taken their profile on Yelp and is redirecting clients to their own website. So, yeah, digital marketing in this day and age is something you have to think about. And personally, I think it's something if you want to grow bigger and faster using the latest technologies, you have to really jump into digital marketing. Not dip your toe in it, jump into it.
Right. And I think you gave a couple of great examples of somebody slamming or taking over your Yelp or, you know, your Yelp profile or some other profile out there, basically ripping off your digital footprint. And I also love what you said about, you know, digital marketing equals your online reputation. I mean, that says it all to me, and that's what a great reason to get in there and just be aware of what's being said about you and make sure that you're putting out your message versus somebody else's message.
Oh, yeah. And, well, think about it this way. People who like offline marketing, and I hear this all the time, well, my business, you know, doesn't really leverage or doesn't need digital marketing. I'm not in social media. I don't advertise on my business on Facebook or even LinkedIn. You know, they say, well, you know, I really don't need digital marketing. And they're not understanding that web presence, you know, your information on the Internet or through mobile devices now, you know, is something that people look for regardless of where you're meeting them. It doesn't mean just because I meet you in person doesn't mean I don't look for you on Google on my phone. I've been at networking meetings where as you're talking to people, you can look them up in LinkedIn, join their LinkedIn account, right, and become friends with them. And it's like, well, give me a business card. No, how about you just give me your LinkedIn account, and I'll go ahead and add you to my LinkedIn network. And or you're talking to someone, or someone says, hey, so-and-so's right there. First thing they do before they approach them is they Google them. So what information do you have out there, you know, about yourself so that people know what you're about, They know where you're coming from in terms of your business, what your needs are, and where you can find them as well. I mean, there's so much that goes on in terms of having a presence out there to where your reputation speaks for itself. And another way to say, I just told you digital marketing equals reputation, but you know what also equals reputation is your credibility and your visibility. Credibility plus visibility equals reputation, which equals digital marketing. That's the formula.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. Let's talk about this because I want to make sure that we get to talk about this in a little bit more detail, and that is you have an event coming up called Success Tsunami, and I want to talk about this. So tell us, what is Success Tsunami?
Success Tsunami is my way of bringing sales and lead generation and sales training to the East Coast. A lot of training out there helping entrepreneurs to generate more leads and sales and really leverage not just digital marketing but all types of marketing tools and technologies. You know, a lot of the training happens in Las Vegas or in San Diego or Costa Mesa. I've been to conferences there, San Jose and L.A., and I brought Success Tsunami to the East Coast. It's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it's a three-day live event that's designed to help people, entrepreneurs, stand out. I want to show them how they can leverage the latest tools and technologies to stand out in an increasingly crowded marketplace. And I brought in 12 experts from around the world. I've got people as far away as the UK flying in who specialize in a particular marketing technology, teaching, again, not just entrepreneurs, but expertpreneurs, people who advise others, advisors, consultants, speakers, coaches, authors, people who have to build a team. You know, everyone from network marketers to real estate agents, anyone that's educating their clients and has to build that one-on-one relationship, but also has to stand out in a relatively crowded marketplace. So we're doing everything we can in this event to make sure that they get the training and the networking opportunity. And as you know, I'm being from Hawaii, I wanted Success Tsunami to have a surf theme island party feel. So basically, it's a training and networking event combined with an island party in a way that really I don't think there's even an event that comes close to the type of things we're trying to blend together all in one very packed three-day, you know, like 8 hours of training, 4 hours of networking each night. It's really a one-of-a-kind event.
I love it. I love it. And, guys, you can find out more about Success Tsunami at SuccessTsunami2014.com?
Yep, that's it.
SuccessTsunami2014.com. And when you go there, you'll see that, just like Ronnie said, you got these world leaders coming to, you know, converging at Myrtle Beach to give you an amazing amount of information. And this is not just information that's going to, just sit there. It's information that you can start using right away in your business to make a difference. I mean, that's what I like about this is that, you know, you brought all these guys there, and you're going to have breakout sessions, and you're going to be able to implement some of the stuff that you learned right on the spot.
Yes, that's the one thing I really wanted to make sure that we implemented in this was actually the word implementation. There's a lot of coaching out there, a lot of training. And I really wanted people to be able to implement right away, not 30 days later, not, you know, 6 months later when you have time, but when you have content that makes you go, wait a minute, I can do this. Here's the step-by-step directions. And it's something that helps you feel like you can really do this and not feel overwhelmed. Because when people
right.
think of digital marketing, they're like, oh, my gosh, this is too much. I can barely keep up. And then all of a sudden they say, well, I can't keep up. Well, maybe I shouldn't bother starting yet because things are going to be changing. And at the end of the day, they end up having no digital marketing, no strategy in place, and ultimately their reputation suffers for it. Their business suffers.
Sure, sure. And I like that because it's at the end of the day, which turns into a month, which turns into a year, and a year goes by, and they've done nothing to improve their marketing, and their business is stalling or worse. It's failing, and sooner or later they disappear. Their business
yep.
is done.
And what's at stake? You know, this is, and you and I have talked about this, where people don't, if their business fails, then they don't get their mission out there. They don't accomplish their mission, their purpose in life. And ultimately, there's so many other people that could have used their help, and yet now that help is not coming to them. There's a lot more at stake than people think, and this is why I'm so passionate about trying to help these entrepreneurs who also have so much passion in trying to help others to succeed. You know, I want to help them.
Yep. Oh, I love it. I love it. Guys, and Ronnie Tsunami and I are going to be speaking at this event, so come check us out. And you can, again, go to SuccessTsunami2014.com. And Ronnie is going to be back hopefully next week to talk more about this. And I want to dive into a little bit more deeper information here, because one of the things that we didn't get to is one of the things that you like to refer to as the 5-Step Rapid Pro Marketing System. And I want to talk about this and talk more about SuccessTsunami2014.com. So I look forward to having you back real soon and go from there.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Aloha.
Aloha. Guys, we're off and running. Great stuff there by Ronnie Tsunami. I just love that name. It just captures the imagination immediately. Success Tsunami will do the same thing for your business. It will capture the imagination of your business. It will set it on fire. And so check it out. SuccessTsunami2014.com is where you want to go. I guarantee if you go there, your business will have an explosion, a resurgence, if you will. So check us out at Success Tsunami 2014. Hey, we're going to take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Mr. Barry Hess on the show talking about his race for the governor seat here in Arizona right after this quick commercial break.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, guys. We are back. My next guest, Barry Hess, and you can check out more about Mr. Barry Hess at Hess, H-E-S-S, for governor.com, Hess for governor.com. Barry Hess has been passionately and consistently involved in Arizona politics since 2000 election cycle and has become one of Arizona's most respected and trusted leaders. Just late last year, he pulled together the largest and most diverse coalition in Arizona history to claim the first successful citizens' referendum in over 30 years, and as many attempts to send bad legislation to the ballot for voters to decide. Ultimately, the legislation HB 2305 was repealed by its sponsors to save them from public shame and embarrassment. He's a proven leader who has demonstrated that he can work with both sides of the political aisle and, most importantly, move our great state forward. Barry Hess, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Well, thanks for having me, Bert. I've been looking forward to being on your show.
All right, so let's talk about this. What was this coalition all about, and what happened? Walk us through this.
Well, I can walk you through it real quick. The coalition came about because in last summer, the Republicans, 16 of them, that 16 people tried to change the election laws in Arizona, and there were 5 significant changes they wanted to make, one of which was to bump libertarians and all other third parties or independent parties off of the ballot. And the reason they did this was because they have this silly notion that our voters, like a libertarian voter, would actually vote for a Republican or a Democrat. And they thought that they would grab some of those extra votes. In fact, when I spoke with Eddie Farnsworth, I asked him about it because he was pushing it. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, you guys spoiled our races. I mean, as if they own voters, which is really, it desensitizes the whole process. They think they own vote. Pardon?
Say that again.
I said they thought that our voters belonged to them, and if we were out of the equation, they would vote for them, which is completely untrue. Well, I asked him, you know, what he was doing, and he called to ask if I was just trying to piss him off. And I said, no, if I'd done that, you'd have hung up long ago. I want you to defend the indefensible. And he said, well, we got to get you guys out of the way, basically. And then, of course, the governor went ahead and signed it. Well, that made it law, and that made it law. And so I immediately made my threats, saying we were going to repeal it, we're going to send it to the ballot, let the citizens decide. Well, that scared them, but not enough, because 30 times in 30 years, people have tried to send things to the ballot, a bad law, and they failed. Well, I pulled together the most diverse coalition in Arizona history. It was really wild to see us all in the room, from ultra-conservatives to ultra-screaming liberals, and, of course, a bunch of libertarians in between. And we all got together. We were working it to get our signatures, because they had raised that level to an exorbitant number, like 87,000 in a two-month period of time. When they saw that I had brought together the coalition, which also included half of the Republican rank and file, by the way, they started getting nervous and tried to bribe me out of it. They actually called me down, Bob Thorpe, to his legislative office, and basically said, how about we give you libertarians what you want, and then it all goes away. And by repealing that section of the law. And I said, you don't understand libertarian loyalty. And he said, well, we'll give that to you. And I said, I don't want you to think you gave me anything. I would rather take it from you. And I knew that phrase would stick, because I've heard it like five times from Republicans. So he's told the story.
Right.
And we said no, and the game was on. Well, they knew that we were coming up, getting close, and actually we were already over by that time. I just sandbagged and didn't tell them. But we already had the signatures. Well, they brought in $500,000, I understand, to literally try and buy back our signatures from the petitioners who were out getting them at twice the price we were paying them. And they did get some. They spent about $500,000. And it didn't work, because when we found out our last day to turn them in was September 12th of last year, I found out from one of my Republican insiders that they were planning on gumming up the Secretary of State's office so that we couldn't turn in our signatures. Well, so we decided to, this is Wild West. And so what we did, I called the people together and said, look, how about we're going to do it a day early? And that'll surprise them, and we don't even tell the press, because that's who leaks most of the information to the reporters due to the opposite side. Well, anyway, so on a September 11th, we turned in 147,000 verified signatures. We verified them before we even turned them in, and that blew their minds. Well, now they had to face a problem, because the Secretary of State did go ahead and he certified us. They challenged some signatures, didn't work. We were on the ballot. Now their lack of integrity and their lack of ethics and the illegality of what they were doing were all going to be on public display on the ballot in November. So what did they do? Those same 16 little snickery people, who little sissies, by what I call them, pansy politicians, these guys, they repealed their own legislation that just a month earlier they had said was so necessary in order to keep it off the ballot. And it is still a sense against it. Well, and I ended up putting a target on my back, because now I was the bad guy amongst that little cadre that has been running this state for a while. And so when
now,
my
let me
signature...
ask you this. Okay, so mm-hmm. You know, why don't you tell our listeners what House Bill 2305 was about and why you repealed it, or why you wanted it repealed?
Because what happens is, and this makes good sense, a primary election is only for the individual parties to determine who will carry their banner to the general election. So it's right. Basically an internal kind of thing that the Republican Democrats have gotten to get funded to the tune of about $30 million. They got them to fund their own private club activities. Well, how it's determined if you're going to be on the ballot is set by a percentage of the number of registered people in your party. That makes sense. And it has made sense, and it's gone to the courts many times. It was the same number, and they were complaining that my numbers to get on the ballot were on the primary ballot were too low because they were a percentage of the Republic, the Libertarian Party, which is significantly smaller than the Republicans for now anyway, because we're growing. We grew by 20%
right.
while Republicans and Democrats have bled some memberships for the last several years. And so they were just basically whining that their club was too big and that it wasn't fair. And you could see them stomping their feet and pulling out their hair. That was what it was all about. They were trying to get us off the ballot because they believe that if we weren't on the ballot, they can actually win something. And I'm here to say I believe that we this time, with same name recognition that everybody else has. I mean, the Republicans ran a polls and stuff, and they found out that my name recognition is as great as any of their candidates without having spent a dime. And Christine has spent over $2 million of her own money to come up and get close to my level. So we're on a kind of a level playing field at this point, and now it's a battle with the media because the media
sure.
is definitely trying to keep us out. Because they're owned and controlled by either the Republicans or the Democrats. Oddly enough, the Democrats have been very, very with us in this whole thing because, of course, they want us on, you know, and they think we're going to pull votes from Republicans. But the problem they face is that we might pull too many and end up winning the
All right, well, let's talk about this real quick, okay, because, you know, there's a couple of I want to say, not contested points, but very hot topics. So one of them being the illegal crossings into Arizona. What's your thought about that? What kind of solutions for these illegal crossings into our state? What do you got planned?
Bert, first off, it's hype. It's not all hype. But it's been hyped by people like Andy Thomas and a couple of the others who just want to have somebody to pick on. And so they're picking on illegal immigrants. Well, I took a more thoughtful approach. And my concern as a libertarian is I don't want 268 people on average to die in our deserts every year trying to get here. So for me, it's a
right.
matter of conscience. But in order to make sure that they don't, that doesn't happen, we have to shut down the border to all illegal crossing, period. And I've designed a program that does exactly that, and it's proven for over 50 years, not a single penetration. And it's the same exact perimeter control that is around a place called Groom Lake up in Nevada. And that's where your government keeps secrets from American citizens. That's
Groom Lake,
that's
Area 51?
As a matter of fact, it is. And it's been very, very effective, and it's nominally expensive. We could do the entire border for less than $6 million, and we could have it done in 6 months. There wouldn't be anybody crossing it, and there's not even a question. At the same time, we wouldn't need a fence or a wall. And what people don't realize.
I was going to say back to your whole thing of. You know, sometimes the stuff gets blown out and it becomes hot. And I agree with you. They use a lot of fear tactics, and this is
mm-hmm.
something that motivates voters. It you
sure.
know it does incense
people
thing. At times. It's a very emotional thing for both you know
mm-hmm.
on either side. And I think that you know personally, this is just my opinion. I know it's going to enrage some people. I think that we have other important things to worry about. I mean, I think that. Whether or not you're able to successfully block all illegal crossings, that is not going to solve some of our major problems. And one of the problems that I see is our economic situation here in Arizona. You know, how are we going to get out of this economic stagnation? You know, we're almost to the point of depression. What's your thought about this?
Well, I believe we are in a depression, but it folds right into what we were talking about on the border, because I don't know what all this yapping about citizenship is about. I would prefer to give them work permits, and even part of my plan calls for a 5% repatriation fee for all non-nationals. Now, what this would do would take away all of the under-the-table payments, or what they say is unfair competition, because now it would all be legal. But if somebody created a problem or had a medical emergency, we would stabilize them and then reach into that fund to repatriate them with their home countries for further the medical attention. I think that's smart. But in eliminating that whole thing, well, that gets back to the whole question, you're going to let all these people in here to work and there ain't enough jobs. And you're right. It comes back to the number one issue, jobs. It's got to be employment opportunities, because there is no such thing as a jobless recovery. We need to bring jobs in here. What I've proposed to do,
yes,
this is really, really simple. And that's what I like. I like simple. I'm a simple guy. But it eliminates all personal income tax and all personal real estate and property tax. And people gasp and go, oh! But the whole point is they're illegal from the inception. A group of people can't get together and decide that we're going to come take so much of a percentage of what Bert earns and call it moral. That's theft. And theft,
right,
is still theft, even by government, even if they come with a gun, and even if they say it's for the children, because it never is. But the reality is, at the same time, I've proposed a simple, single 4% fee on all corporate entities of their gross receipts, without exception, without anything. And then people go, oh, wait a minute, no offsets, no deductions, no nothing? No, nothing. 4%. All we're interested in is how much did you earn? Send us 4%. Now, this is a fee for access to what I believe are another abomination to our Constitution, and that is the protections of the corporate veil. I consider them to be an artificial limitation on the tort liabilities of the owners. That's all it is. This is a way to have somebody else do your dirty work and you don't get blamed, like Monsanto, for instance. That's where the whole thing comes down. We're not going to get rid of corporations. I'm not even suggesting that. But they should pay for at least a fee for doing that. Now, what this does for the business community, it means they can get rid of auditors, they can get rid of a lot of the regulators, they can get rid of a lot of the accountants, because nobody cares what goes on inside their business unless they do something illegal or harm someone. And then, of course, the attorney general comes to visit them. But in the end, it allows for a stable tax and political environment. It is an open invitation to all businesses. Come to Arizona. We'll make sure government doesn't get in your way and hinder the new startups like it does now. So I propose removing
a lot
of the regulations.
Hey, Barry, let's do this because we're out of time, and what I'd love to do is bring you back and talk more about this and get down to a little bit deeper on some of these issues that we have. Barry Hess, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. Good luck to you as you run for governor of Arizona. And, guys, if you have questions for Barry, check him out at Hess, H-E-S-S, for governor.com. Barry Hess, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Bert.
You bet. Guys, we're off and running. Great stuff there. Exciting stuff there from libertarian Barry Hess. If this guy gets elected to the governorship, the world as we know it would change. Arizona as we know it would change. Check them out, hessforgovernor.com. We're going to bring on my next guest, Lynn Lee Bowers, right now, because we're really kind of fighting the tide here. Anyway, let me introduce today is, or with me today, I should say, is Lane Lee Bowers, who's a successful entrepreneur for the last 30 years. Has been searching for a home business that would satisfy his passion to help people. In his search, he was seeking something specific, though. What he was looking for had to be beneficial to everyone. Lane tells me that he found what he's been seeking in one company, and he is here today to share a few things about what he has found and what he has in mind and how it may work for you. He's saying that this is something that everyone should take a look at because it flat out works. get ready, grab a cup of coffee, a pen, and I think you'll want to hear and write down what he's found out and how it's going to impact your life. Lane Lee Bowers, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert, how you doing? Thanks for having me today.
You bet. All right, so tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, here you are. You've been an entrepreneur for 30 years. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, once I graduated in 79, I went to work for an oil company, oil service company in West Texas, and worked for them for 8 years, and I was managing people and everything. I thought, well, shoot, if I can manage, you know, 20 guys on a job that creates, like, you know, several million dollars, I should be able to do that for myself. So all of 86, I started looking, and in 87, I got into the landscape irrigation business and have been doing that ever since. But since then, in 87, 89, that was when I was first introduced to network marketing or MLM. And I wondered for the life of me, why didn't everybody have a home business? Because of all the benefits involved, you know, you get tax breaks, you get the, you know, multiple deductions and that sort of thing. But mainly it gives you time freedom and the ability to make basically unlimited income just by promoting somebody else's product. And you don't have the overhead of, you know, like a brick and mortar business.
Right.
So, you know, I've been looking at this for over 30 years, but, you know, the network marketing thing is most of the companies are flawed in that they don't give that opportunity of unlimited income to the individual signing up or looking at, you know, doing something for themselves. And that's the flaw that I found, and, you know, I never really got excited about anything, even though I joined many over the last 30 years. I never did find anything until this last fall that actually benefited everybody that was involved. And the name of the company is Synergy Worldwide. They've been in
business. Now, let me ask you this. When you say it benefits everybody involved, how do you mean that?
Well, what I mean is if you're a consumer and you just take the product, you're going to benefit in your health. Okay? And, of course, the company is going to make a profit just because of them selling the product. But on the other side of that, it actually is Dan Higginson, the founder and CEO of Synergy, started it with a vision of being able to allow the distributors of the company to actually leave a legacy. Prior to 1999, when he started Synergy, he was a corporate trainer, and he trained with many network marketing and MLM companies, and he thought it was, you know, was kind of flawed because of something that happened in his past, but he noticed that it was actually a perfect business because it gave the individual the opportunity to make whatever they wanted to if they really did, you know, put some effort into the business and treat it like a business instead of just something that they do. So he's set up a platform with Synergy where you can actually leave a legacy to your family with it. I mean, if you come in and you sponsor one individual and you don't do anything else except for consume the products, and you've sponsored this individual that goes out and actually builds a business and an income from it, you can get paid up to $5,000 a month just on the production of that one individual. And that does not go away. That will be there. There's no breakaways or anything like that. So it's actually a real good model for people who are wanting to put some extra money in their pocket, even though they really may not want to be in network marketing, you know, or they don't see the value in it at the point that they're introduced to it. But whenever they get to where they sponsor somebody and that individual is actually making them money and they're not having to do anything, then they see the value in it and they'll possibly go to work and even build a greater income than just what they're making off that one.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about this, because I want to talk about some of your background. I mean, when you and I talked the other day, you were telling me that your friend Dewey got you involved, and that really that it was Dewey's reaction to taking the product, and then later on your reaction or your response to taking the product that really got you excited. So let's talk a little bit about the product. The product that you and I talked about is this thing called what is it
Pro
now?
Pro Arginine
Plus. Pro Arginine Plus. And so let's talk about Dewey and what his results were, and then we'll talk about yours.
Well, Dewey he's 68 years old, and he suffered from diabetes and high blood pressure. And after being on the product for a matter of a couple of months, the blood pressure and the diabetes numbers came down. And that's about as much as I can say about his testimonial, because we're actually a publicly traded company, and we can't give other people's testimonial. But my testimonial is that 2 years ago, it started that I had sciatica problems on my right side. And, I mean, during the day when I was working, I would have to sit down for 20 or 30 minutes because of the pain. And since I've been taking the product since November, I have not felt that pain since then.
Wow.
And arthritis, I've worked with my hands all my life, and my hands here hurt like crazy. I mean, I'd have to get up in the morning and take, you know, some sort of pain relief just because of my hands hurting. This year, I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, yeah, there's a little significant pain there, but there is not pain to where I have to take painkillers anymore.
Right.
But
it's no longer hindering your life.
Exactly. It's not a main pain, so to speak. But whereas last year it was, you know,
gotcha.
Just like the sciatica. But the main thing about the product and my experience with it is that my mind is clear. There's no procrastination. There's no, you know, thinking about doing something that I need to do. I mean, I just jump right in there and do it now. I mean, my mind has become clearer, and I've been more focused since I've been on the product. And the product, Pro Arginine Plus, it has over 200, well, not the product itself, but it's actually based on the 1998 Nobel Prize of three scientists realizing that nitric oxide was a signaling molecule in the human body, okay? And what's been found out since then, whenever at the beginning they thought it was just heart disease related, they found out that the consumption of L-arginine, which that turns into nitric oxide in the human body, it actually cleans the cardiovascular system. So your cardiovascular system being clean, it doesn't have blockage. It has, you know, most people have plaque in their cardiovascular system that they don't even realize that they have. They don't even realize that they have a problem.
Right.
You know, and I was no different. I didn't. I mean, but after studying the product and being on the product and looking inside Synergy, it was like, man, this is a no-brainer, because it's a product that can help over 50% of the population, because heart disease is the number one killer right now on the planet. And this product, Pro Arginine Plus, alleviates, can even reverse that. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, from my experience of seeing the testimonials, the video testimonials that are out there, you can see that it has helped people overcome things just, you know, more than just heart disease. Back in
what's amazing, what I like about this is kind of like what you said at the beginning. This is a product that it's going to benefit everybody.
You know, it's going to help you reduce, in some cases, it's going to help you reduce or reverse, you know, your heart disease. It's going to help you with your overall blood condition. I mean, you mentioned, you know, high blood pressure. It's going to help you with arthritis. It's going to help you with, you know, all these other ailments that are really causing a lot of money, costing a lot of money and a lot of downtime and a lot of pain for most people. And so it has massive benefits. And then, like you said earlier in the interview, that, you know, you can also, if you get excited about it, you can turn around and use it as a home-based business without the massive headache or expense of running a brick-and-mortar business. So it's a nice
exactly.
win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
All right, so listen, let's talk. If somebody wants to find out more about this, what's the website? Where do they go?
Okay, they can – okay, about the product, they can go to cardioanswer.com.
Cardioanswers.com.
Well, singular, cardioanswer.com.
Okay, singular, guys, cardioanswer.com, okay.
And then for the home business, you can go to ahomebusinessincome.com.
ahomebusinessincome.com. And guys, check them out. Lane Lee Bowers, over 30 years as a entrepreneur and self-employed business owner. And, you know, check him out. Check out what he's talking about. And Lane Lee Bowers, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Thank you so much, Bert.
You bet. Guys, that wraps it up. Great show. I'm excited for all our guests. It's just a lot of fun stuff happening. Great information from Mary King on taxes. Kind of an exciting slant on our political system by Barry Hess. And then you have possibly a world life-changing product with Synergy and Lane Lee Bowers. And cardioanswer.com for you guys that want to maybe get healthier faster. And I can't remember. Anyway, go check them out. Guys, that's it. Remember, as always, we appreciate you being here, and you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.